Welcome back to the All In Podcast. I'm Alex Straley. I got newcomer John Lynch with me. What's up, John?
I'm doing good, man. What's up? I'm glad to be on.
Today, we got the 2014 NFL Redraft and the best runner-ups in the Super Bowl since 2007. So, let's get it started. I'll pick first, and then John will pick second. I'll pick third. John will pick fourth, et cetera, et cetera. So, I'll go first with the Texans picking first in 2014. The 2013 Texans were very bad. They were 2-14. They started off 2-0. They lost 14 straight. Quarterback was a terrible. Keenum played 8 games. Shaw played 8 games. The year before in 2012, they went 12-4, and they were actually really good. And they played New England tough in the divisional round. So in 2013, they were trash. They fired Gary Kubiak, and they ended up hiring Bill O'Brien, who's an offensive guy from Penn State. So originally they took Jadeveon Clowney with the first pick. Bill O'Brien being an offensive guy, I could see them picking one of these wide receivers, but there's no way. There's absolutely no way you cannot take Aaron Donald here and team him up with J.J. Watt. I'm taking Aaron Donald, defensive tackle, Pittsburgh.
I like the pick. That'd be a dynamic duo up front on the defensive line. Get some hog mollies up there. Come on. Little Dave Gettleman for you.
Imagine them two together? That would be friggin' insane.
The best two defensive linemen in the game.
Yeah. They took Clowney. I don't, you know, Clowney, everybody thought they were going to take Clowney. I don't fault them for taking him.
Clowney was a beast in college. I mean,
yeah. So I'm not going to hate on them for taking Clowney there. All right. Number two, you got the Rams.
All right. So the Rams also is terrible. They just, the organization was terrible for a long stretch after Kurt Warner left and before McVay got there. With the second pick, they originally picked Greg Robinson, and everyone knows how he turned out. Wasn't there that long. For the redraft, I have them taking Khalil Mack out of Buffalo.
Yeah, that's a good pick. That's a good pick.
Instead of them getting Donald later on in the draft, they just get their star pass rusher now, second overall.
Fisher being a defensive-minded head coach, too, makes sense.
Yeah.
So picking third was the Jacksonville Jaguars. In 2013, they went 4-12 with new head coach Gus Bradley, another defensive-minded guy here. Originally, they took Blake Bortles, quarterback UCF. They need a quarterback, obviously. That's the reason they took Bortles. But, I mean, looking at these quarterbacks, I don't think any of them you could pick at number three. But yeah. I would shore up the offensive line, take Zach Martin, guard, Notre Dame.
That was a great pick. Zach Martin was – I felt he fell in the draft when – during the actual draft. And, I mean, he's just been a beast on that Cowboys dominant line the last few years.
Yeah, he's a monster. And then you take your quarterback either in the second round or you take him the third or you take him next year.
Yeah.
All right, you're up number three.
No, number four. The Buffalo Bills in the 2014 NFL draft took Sammy Watkins out of Clemson. And, I mean, no one can really fault them for taking him at the time. At Clemson, he was just an absolute animal, playing next to DeAndre Hopkins at times. And he was the better one coming out of college. But for this pick, I still have them going receiver because I felt their offense needed firepower, and that's what they originally hoped for with Sammy Watkins. But I've been taking Odell Beckham Jr., wide receiver out of LSU, who is an absolute monster in his time with the New York Giants. And he's been dealing with injuries lately, but I still think he's a top five wide receiver in the NFL today.
Yeah, Odell would be interesting in Buffalo. I just can't see his personality fitting. Like, there's literally nothing to do in Buffalo, and he's like an outgoing guy. I don't know. So at number five, the Oakland Raiders picked, and originally they took Khalil Mack, but you just took him at two. So the Raiders, they take their quarterback later. They do need one, but I'm not going to reach one here at five. You know what? I'm going to go wide receiver here and give a quarterback help in which they might take later on or the next year. And I'm going to give them Mike Evans, who's an absolute monster. He was picked early, originally in 2014. There's a lot of good
Bucks. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of good receivers here. I mean, give or take. So I got Mike Evans to the Oakland Raiders.
All right. For number six, the Atlanta Falcons. They originally picked Jake Matthews, and he was part of their line in the Super Bowl run. But I just feel like they needed a defense and they needed a pass rush, and that pass rush along could have helped win the Super Bowl against the Patriots a few years later. But I have them picking Jadeveon Clowney, who was just an absolute beast at South Carolina in college.
I think that's a good place for Clowney, because I don't think – I mean, obviously, in hindsight, we know that Clowney, you know, isn't really a number one pick. But I think he's still a top 10 pick. He's still a beast.
I just think injuries have hampered him, and he's just – I think the production's still there. It's just not showing on the stat sheet.
Seven, Tampa Bay Buccaneers originally took Mike Evans. I just took him for the Oakland Raiders. The Bucs fired Greg Schiano the year before. They hired Lovie Smith, who's a defensive-minded guy, run-the-football type of guy. So I see them boosting up that offensive line. Jake Matthews was picked by the Falcons. I'm going to take him for the Bucs. All right, you're up next.
All right, for the Browns. What a funny team they were. With the 8th selection, they picked Justin Gilbert, who's out of the league now and has been for a couple of years, right? The Browns have been a mess for some time. Obviously, now we know they've gotten it back together a little bit, led by Baker. In 2014, they were still a heavily rebuilding team. So with their 8th pick, I have them going with Derek Carr, quarterback. I felt like Derek Carr had a great, what was it, second or third year in the league when he was – I felt he was an MVP candidate, and he led the Raiders to a great record that year. I just think they traded Amari Cooper in Oakland, and Derek Carr's never really gotten help. But if the Browns could get Derek Carr the help he needs, I feel like he could excel.
You just got to hope that Carr doesn't go into the vortex of Cleveland Browns quarterbacks where they go to die.
Yeah.
So I like that pick. I mean, Carr's a good quarterback. So after the Browns, number 9, the Minnesota Vikings.
Skull, baby.
Originally took Anthony Barr. Yeah, Anthony Barr, who's a great player, still on the team. And I was thinking about staying here.
Yeah.
But I'm going to move off it, and I'm going to get – I'll give the quarterback later, or I'll get him next year. I'll give him a weapon now. And I was thinking between Devontae Adams and Jarvis Landry. I'm going Jarvis Landry because Jarvis Landry will pop right away. Well, I feel like Devontae Adams needed Aaron Rodgers kind of to make him pop. Yeah. So I'll take Jarvis Landry here. I mean, Anthony Barr, who they originally took, it would be a great pick also. But let's get that offensive firepower, Jarvis Landry.
All right, number 10, the Detroit Lions. At the time, they picked Eric Ebron, which wasn't a bad pick because they still had Stafford and they needed help at tight end. And Ebron was seen as a great tight end prospect, so I could see why they take them. But I have them taking C.J. Mosley, the linebacker, who I just felt has been consistent part of the Ravens defense for a long time. And I felt like he's done a great job, which they've struggled a lot in the last few years.
Yeah. That would be a good pick. He's a good player. He comes off the edge. He's a good player. So at number 11, the Tennessee Titans, they originally took Taylor Lewan, offensive tackle from Michigan. So here, once again, here's another team that doesn't have a quarterback, and it's not a big quarterback draft. I'm not going to reach for Teddy Bridgewater, so I'm going to take this guy who fell, Anthony Barr, from UCLA, an absolute monster, still playing on the team that drafted him. I'll take Anthony Barr.
That was a great pick.
I know it was. You know.
All right. Number 12, my New York football Giants. They got
need a lot of help.
They got them and the Rams got the steal of the draft, and the Giants with Odell Beckham at number 12, I mean, picked behind two other receivers, right? Just Evans and Watkins. But with Odell off the board at this time, I have them picking Taylor Lewan, who's recently picked before them to Tennessee. And I just feel like Eli could have really used the help on the line, because since his Super Bowl winning teams, he has not had a good offensive line. And it could really shore up the left side, the blind side of the quarterback.
Yeah, that pick will definitely help the Giants, who obviously struggle at offensive line. You put Eli with a good offensive line, good running game, play good defense, you can win, because Eli's clutch. He can make the big throws. So next up would be the St. Louis Rams, who had two picks. Originally, they took Aaron Donald, which was the absolute steal of the draft. Here, I think I'm going to go – there's some guys you could take here. So you took Mack at number 2.
Yeah.
So why don't we take DeMarcus Lawrence and just make one of the best defensive lines in football? I'm taking DeMarcus Lawrence from Boise State. Imagine that defensive line stacked.
I mean, that would compare with the Texans line adding Donald, but it obviously wouldn't be as potent. But I mean, that's still two definitely Pro Bowl defensive line, top 10 in the game.
So you got the last pick with the
Bears. Yeah, so the 14th pick, the last pick we're doing today in this 2014 NFL redraft, I have them picking Jimmy Garoppolo, number 14.
Oh, God.
Jimmy Garoppolo, everyone knows he fell. Well, he didn't really fall, but he got drafted by the Patriots, and there was kind of controversy. Were they going to go Garoppolo or Brady? They ultimately chose Brady, but I feel like Jimmy could thrive in his own system. And just getting used early, I feel like Chicago would have been a great place for him.
Jimmy over Bridgewater?
I would pick Bridgewater, but just because of the injury.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Teddy. He was a Viking.
But that's looking in hindsight, though, that we know that he gets injured. So, but maybe he doesn't get injured.
I just feel like, you know, I feel Garoppolo has a higher ceiling than Bridgewater. So that's why I ultimately chose to pick him over Teddy.
So 1 through 14, redraft. Texans took Donald. Rams took Mac, Jacks took Martin, Bills took Odell, Raiders took Mike Evans, Falcons took Clowney, Bucks took Matthews, Browns took Carr, Vikings took Landry, Lions CJ Mosley, Titans Anthony Barr, Giants Taylor Lewan, Rams Marcus Lawrence, and the Bears get their quarterback with Jimmy Garoppolo. John, you look at the guys that we didn't pick. There's so many good players in this draft. Kyle Fuller, Ryan Shazier, we said Teddy Bridgewater, Devontae Adams, Allen Robinson. There's so many guys.
I know. This was definitely one of the better draft classes in recent years.
Now we got the best runner-ups in the Super Bowl since 2007. There's a lot of teams here, John. We'll start from five. We'll both give ours, and then we'll work our way up. So number five, I'm going with a team the year before lost in the NFC Championship game to the Giants. I'm taking the 2012 San Francisco 49ers, went 11-4-1. They tied. They won the NFC West. They killed Green Bay. Remember that game? Ran for so many yards in that game. They beat Atlanta in Atlanta. They came back in the second half, and they played the Ravens in the Super Bowl. They were down big. The lights went out. They came back, and they freaking had it, like, first and goal, and they could have easily won that game. I'm taking the 2012 49ers. That defense was so good. You got Willis, Navarro Bowman, and all offense. You got Crabtree, Frank Gore.
Alden Smith was on that team, right, in his prime early years?
Yep, Alden Smith was on that team. Now he's on the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. But, I mean, that team was just – they were so good on defense. And actually, the year after, they go to the NFC Championship game. And once again, losing a heartbreaking way to the Seahawks, you could legitimately say that the 49ers could have went to the Super Bowl all three of those
years. Yeah, you definitely could have. I think that Alex Smith injury earlier in the year was a blessing in disguise. I feel like people kind of wrote them off a little bit. But then Colin Kaepernick was a different breed throughout his small stretch in San Francisco.
Yeah. Yep.
My fifth best team to runner up in the Super Bowl is the 2016-2017 Atlanta Falcons. The reason I picked the Falcons was their offense. They didn't have the best defense by far, but their offense, I felt, was one of the top offenses of all time. Matt Ryan won MVP that year. He threw for 4,944 yards, 38 touchdowns, completed 70% of his passes. Their running back was led by the two-headed monster of Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman. They've led the league in scoring. Overall, they had six Pro Bowlers on the offense and defense. And just listen to these receivers: Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Taylor Gabriel, Austin Hooper. And Julio Jones, like the catch we saw in that Super Bowl game, that was unreal. If they could have just ran the ball a couple times and not take that sack, they would not even be on this list. But
yeah, the Falcons team,
they were really a fun team to watch.
Kicked in the gear. Yeah, and if you remember the NFC Championship game, like, they fucking destroyed Green Bay. Like, that game wasn't even close. They destroyed them, and they go in the first half, not even the first half, the first three quarters, they're fucking destroying New England.
They hold Tom Brady to 3 points throughout almost three-fourths of the game. That's crazy.
Yeah. That team definitely – the only reason people don't give them as much credit is their defense was not good. But in the playoffs, they played well. So I like that pick with the Falcons. So let's start number four. I'll take – now this team went 15-1, and everyone's just going to look at their record and just be like, oh, they should be higher. But I'm going to take the 2015 Panthers, who went 15-1. They beat the Seahawks in the divisional round, beat the Cardinals in the championship round, lost to Denver in the Super Bowl. Cam Newton won MVP, threw for 35 touchdowns. He was a beast. But I just feel like the only reason people give them a ton of credit is because they went 15-1, and you know they should get a lot of credit. But if you actually they go had a look at their games, they won so many close games. It could have went either way, and it showed the next year they weren't
as
good next year.
Also, during that year, if I recall, they did not play many tough teams. I felt their schedule was very light that year.
No, yeah, that's what I was saying. And I don't know, maybe I don't think they sat their starters the last couple weeks. So there's been a lot of teams that lost one game in the regular season and then just sat their starters like the last 2 weeks. But they went 15-1, so everybody's like, oh, they're right up there. But like, look at their games. They won like a bunch of one-point games, and it showed the next year they didn't win those games. So I don't think they were as dominant as those
teams above them. Yeah, I have them coming up later in my list, but just a quick thing real fast. But, I mean, anytime you win 15, you go 15-1 in the NFL, like, it's impressive. Week to week, it's always tough competition, no matter where teams are in the standings. It's professional football. For my number four team, I have the 2009-2010 Indianapolis Colts.
Okay.
Just a couple things. Before the season, Tony Dungy retired. Jim Caldwell would replace him. And Marvin Harrison was released. Those are two big moves that could affect the team greatly.
Yeah, cornerstone of the franchise.
It didn't affect the 2009-2010 Colts. Peyton Manning, fourth MVP that year. And it was a back-to-back. He won it the previous year. He had 43 touchdowns. The offense was also led by Dallas Clark. Each had over 100 receptions and 10 touchdowns. And the defense, led by Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis. That was a very scary pass rush at the time. And Pro Bowl safety, Antoine Bethea. They also had a top 8 scoring defense, which was a big part in their run to the Super Bowl. But if they didn't throw that inner pick six to Tracy Porter, they probably wouldn't be on this list also, just like the Falcons. One mistake can change the entire game.
Yeah, the 2009 Colts, you can also say the onside kick to start the second half. They were a really good team. And they're like I said before, with sitting players towards the end of the year, they sat their players. They could have easily been 15-1 too. So let's go number three. I got the 2014 Seattle Seahawks, who went 12-4, looking to repeat. They started off a little slow. They did not start off like we all expected them to. They were 3-3. People were kind of like, oh, what are we doing here? But they went off. They went 12-4. They lost one game the rest of the year. And you go look at the scores of these games. I mean, they're like basically shutting out teams, giving up 3 points, 7 points, 6 points. Their defense was unbelievable in 2014. They beat Carolina in the divisional round. They got lucky in the NFC Championship game. I'll give them that. Green Bay
they had a great comeback, though. The fake field goal.
And then you get – yep, but, I mean, he catches that onside kick. Yeah. The game's over. But you get to the Super Bowl, and they're out playing New England, and all they do
– Marshawn Lynch.
Hand it off.
Beast mode,
Marshawn
baby.
Lynch. And they win that game, and they are back-to-back.
And you never know. You never know what happens like, with things, the Legion of Boom after that. They might stay together after winning back-to-back. You never know.
Yeah, but, like, we always talk about, you know, great teams, but they never win back-to-back. Like, New England did it. Seattle, they were 1 yard from winning back-to-back. I don't think people, like, really comprehend that they could have been back-to-back Super Bowl champs. It's crazy.
All right, my number three team is the 15-16 Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton obviously won MVP that year, passed for 3,837 passing yards. 35 touchdowns. He also ran for 636 yards and had 10 rushing touchdowns, which was a couple, I think one or two off the lead of in the NFL, which is impressive, especially at the quarterback position. A quick note, looking back at that Super Bowl team, Cam Newton's receivers were Corey Brown, Ted Ginn, Devin Funchess, Jericho Cotchery, and Greg Olsen. Like, that's not a big...
Yeah.
And you might be wondering why I bring that up, even though I have them as my third best team. Like, Cam Newton was just a different breed that year. Like, he did all this with that receiving core. That just speaks to the volume of his MVP campaign. And their number one scoring offense and the defense that year, Luke Kuechly, Josh Norman, sixth ranked defense in the NFL. They had 8 all-pro players. I just felt they were an all-around, just great team.
The defense was definitely underrated, and they played good in the Super Bowl. I mean, like, what else do you want them to do? I mean, there's a strip sack for Von Miller,
yeah,
right?
The only thing I have, I love Cam Newton as a player. The one play is he should have dove for the fumble in the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, we all think that. He definitely should have dove. Not, you know, that's definitely going to follow him wherever he goes. You're just going to bring up should have dove for the ball. But I think the 2015 Panthers, you actually look at that game, it was kind of a really boring game, to be honest. But the Peyton Manning-led Broncos, the offense was just so bad that that's why the Panthers were kind of in that game. I just feel like if you had a better Peyton Manning and a better Broncos offense, maybe that game isn't as close as it ended up really being.
Yeah, but you also got to give credit to the Panthers' defense. They played very well that game. They played great the entire season.
So, number two, I got the 2013 Denver Broncos. The year Peyton Manning broke the record books, 5,477 passing yards, 55 touchdowns. He just went off. They went 13-3. They beat the Chargers. They beat the Patriots. You know, Manning beating Brady. And it was all set. Number one scoring offense, number one scoring defense, clashing in the Super Bowl. What's going to win? Well, the defense absolutely blew them the fuck out, 43-8. They lost to Seattle. It's tough putting them on this list because
I mean, that game was over right away.
Yeah,
like a botch snap. And then right at halftime, Percy Harvin returning the kickoff.
I just think that 2013 Seattle Seahawks team is very underrated, and they should be on a top in a lot of lists. But the Broncos that year on offense, they were literally unstoppable until that game. But they were just – they were so good on offense. Every time they got the ball, they were scoring. They were scoring. And
well,
I just don't know
to
how
him
you can
having
leave them
the
off
record.
Here. It might be a little too high.
Peyton Manning.
Yeah, it might be a little too high now that I look at it, but I just think that offense
I left that Broncos team off my list. I just felt the other five teams were just better all around. And I was considering putting them with the Falcons instead of the Falcons, but I just felt like Julio Jones, I felt the Falcons team had the edge just a little bit, though. Might be wrong because Peyton Manning had 55 touchdowns that year. Like, their offense was a different breed. But,
yeah.
I mean, the Falcons, Julio Jones, great running game, Matt Ryan.
I mean, obviously, the Broncos' offense was better, but it's the performance in the Super Bowl. Obviously, Atlanta gave up the huge lead.
So, my number two, you said it. Yep. You had them earlier on your list, the 14-15 Seattle Seahawks. They were 10th in scoring on offense, first in rushing yards and touchdowns, led by Russell Wilson and beast mode Marshawn Lynch. Their defense finished as the number one defense, no surprise, led by the Legion of Boom, Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, and one of the best linebackers in the game, Bobby Wagner. That team, one play away. All they needed was 1 or 2 yards?
But
that's where the legend of Malcolm Butler was born. I mean, you got to give him credit. 2 years in the Super Bowl, I mean, that takes a lot out of you.
Yeah, and what play
Jermaine
Kearse about is the catch by was it Jermaine Kearse? Yeah, it was. That play was freaking insane. So at number one, obviously we're both gonna have the 2007 Patriots, 16-0.
There
they beat the Jags, they beat the Chargers, they destroyed everybody in their path. They got to the Super Bowl and played really good defense. Manning made a throw, a couple throws, and won the game.
Then record 50 passing touchdowns by Brady. Randy Moss caught 23 touchdowns. They had 3 Pro Bowl offensive linemen.
That's fucking insane.
The defense had 3 Pro Bowlers, Will Fork, Vrabel, Samuel. The offense averaged 36.8 points per game throughout an entire NFL season. That is insane. Like, that team. If the Giants, if that pass rush of Umanyora, Tuck, Strahan, Kiwanuku, I mean, they'd be 19-0. Even with the catch of Tyree, I mean, they'd be 19-0.
You give them credit, but it came down to making plays, and the defense and the offense both made plays. Yeah, as we look at the other teams that were on here, what teams stood out to you? I think you could put the two Patriots teams on here, the 2011 and the 2017 one. Another team that a lot of people forget, 2010 Steelers, were really good on defense. They had a good offense. I mean, their receiving core was absolutely ridiculous. It was like Hines Ward, Tonio Brown was a rookie. Mike Wallace, yeah. I believe. Young Mike Wallace. I mean, they're
yeah.
And did they have Emmanuel Sanders? Sure. I'm pretty sure they did. That wide receiver core is insane.
The Arizona Cardinal team that lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers on the Santonio Holmes toe tap in the end zone. People still debate. I lived in Arizona at the time whether his foot was down, but obviously the refs saw it as the foot was down. But I mean, that offense, Anquan Boldin, Larry Fitzgerald, probably definitely without a doubt a top receiver in the NFL in NFL history, and Kurt Warner having a late resurgence in his career. I mean, that team was just, they were something else.
So that's going to wrap it up. Yeah.